I just feel as we were worshiping the Lord, Lord wants to tell you that He loves you very much. God loves you very much, and God has a plan and a purpose for you. In fact, that was the only reason why He did the battle on the cross, so that He can bring you the blessing. Wow, what an unfair exchange. God take the battle, God do the work, does the work, and we take the blessing. But that's God. God loves us so much. And this morning, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord. You could have spent this time somewhere else, but you came here and be in fellowship with God's people and to know how good God is and how God loves us and has a purpose for us. Amen. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to bless His word. Father, we thank You so much for today. Today is the day, O Lord, that we have the forgiveness of sins. And Lord, we have, O God, our lives being renewed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, the Lord has given His life for us so that we can have the blessing that You have promised Abraham. Lord, we thank You so much for today. Break the word today so that, Lord, it becomes food to those who need to experience Your love. Today, dear Lord, we want to experience Your love. And I pray that Your word will be opened up and Your people will experience Your love in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, today is Good Friday. And it is good because Jesus pays the price or paid the price for our lives. And as a result, we are debt-free. Wow, that's a good word there. You are debt-free, you are curse-free, and you are sin-free. What good news on Good Friday? We have a massive sin debt that we owe that stands against us and condemns us. And we cannot pay with all the wealth that we have. It's a massive sin debt. The human race is under a curse so that it can never do right by the law. Can never do right by rules and regulations. So even though there are rules, people still break rules because this humankind is broken and cursed. Sin kept pestering us not to do good that we want to do. The good that you want to do, you always think, I want to do good, I want to do good. Sin pesters you not to do good, but the evil that you do not want to do, the bad that you do not want to do, the unhealthy things that you do not want to do, you keep doing. That's what Romans 7:15 says. But because of Good Friday, we are debt-free, curse-free, sin-free. Because when Jesus died on the cross and He cried, "It is finished," our debt is paid in full. The curse is broken. And our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. That's why we say, thank God it's Good Friday. It is good because the blessing that was promised to Abraham that would come to the people only of ancient Israel now, the blessing has come to all the people of the world because of Jesus Christ. And we will receive the promised Spirit through faith. But it costs Jesus everything to give us that blessing because He willingly surrenders His divine status and He accepts limitations when He enters into the brokenness of the earth as a human person. Good Friday is good. It is good because it tells us, number one, that God seeks for us. He seeks for us. Today, my message is about the parable of the pearl. It says in Matthew 13, verse 45, He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. Jesus seeks for us. We are His beautiful pearls and His treasure. If you don't know that, today know that. Jesus seeks for us because we are His beautiful pearls and His treasure. We are His inheritance. We are His beloved. and he longs for us. Why does he do that? Because he knows there is a meaning and a purpose for you in your earthly life. You are here for meaning and you are here for a purpose. Jesus knew that. That's why he seeks you to reveal that to you here and now, and also to help you experience to the very end, till eternity, till there and then. I'm so glad to know that Jesus is not leisurely sitting on the portals of heaven, though he is in heaven. He does not sit there leisurely and casually waiting for us to show up. No, he actively comes looking for us. His eyes roam for us to see who he can strengthen and who he can bless. This is our Jesus. He is not someone who keeps the distance from us, even though sometimes when your prayers are not answered, it's as though God is very far away. Oh no, Jesus doesn't keep the distance from us. And good thing, he doesn't have favorites. He doesn't have favorites because God shows no partiality, because he will seek for anyone who believes in him. He seeks for you, as the Bible says, like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. And men, today you can include yourself in the description of pearls. I know sometimes pearls are a little bit feminine. Huh? You don't see men wearing pearls. You see women wearing pearls. But we must go into the ancient Israel context, right? Pearl here means anyone that is extremely valuable, supremely beautiful, and worthwhile. You are incomparable if you are the pearl of God. And today on Good Friday, God reminds us that we are precious to him like pearls. You are God's pearl. Recently, I was reading a quote, and it says that you must hang out with people whose eyes light up when they see you. How good is it when you come to church, right? People's eyes light up and it says, whoa, whoa, you are here. And this quote says, hang out with people whose eyes light up when they see you. And I've been a Christian for so long. I like to hang out with Jesus, and I believe Jesus liked to hang out with me as well. And our eyes light up whenever we see each other, thinking, how can I show favor to God? And God thinking, how can I show favor to her? Throughout the week, throughout the day, throughout the year. And I know Jesus loves to hang out with you too, because I read in the Bible that there is no one good except God. So God is good. And the goodness of Jesus is demonstrated in the Gospels, because when you read the Gospel, you see Jesus looking at people with tender eyes, dove eyes, eyes that are pure and loving, and a loving heart. God gave me the opportunity to be grandma, 4 grandchildren and 1 coming up in May. And right now where we are living, we've got 2 units on our land. And so my daughter and the family lives at the front house and we live at the back house. And there's always free flow of movement between the 2 families. And every morning, because they know how to press the button on the door, every morning, Henry and I will look forward to our 2 grandchildren, because the one is still very young. So 2 still able to burst through our door. And from wherever we are, it doesn't matter, from wherever we are, when we hear some buzzing at the door or some knocking on the door, we will stop whatever we are doing and we'll come and greet them with eyes that are lighted up. Grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. Or parents, you know what I'm talking about. I think to myself, if I'm not as good as God, and I'm doing this to people I love, won't God be more loving towards his children, his precious ones, his pearls? Church, Jesus seeks for you and is concerned for your welfare. Good Friday tells you that. Good Friday also tells us the second thing, that Jesus falls in love with you. Last week, when we were at My Vista Nursing Home, our church sang for the seniors. And about, I think, 15 of us, we were there with guitar, with voices, with saxophone, with the children carrying stuffed toys. And we were singing. And in the midst of the singing, I just felt like I have fallen in love with the church. The 15 people that were there, I just fell in love with the church. It was a very strange sensation because all these years in my life, I've always been told, love the church. And I love the church. But now it's like a falling in love with the church and in love with the church. And then I remember when I was younger, we used to sing the song. I keep falling in love with you over and over and. If you're singing, you are as old as me. Don't sing. I keep falling in love with you over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with you over and over and over and over again. And then he gets sweeter and sweet. Pastor Aaron, you know the song. You are in your 40s, but you know that song. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what love between the Lord and I. I keep falling in love with Him over and over again. It's very difficult for me as an Asian person to say about falling in love, yeah? We love only, we don't fall in love. So it's a lot for me to say this, okay? But I felt I have to say this. Have you ever watched people in love? I've watched someone many years ago in Fremantle. I watched someone trying to draw a portrait of the woman. They came as a couple and the woman sat there and she was being drawn. And I could see the boyfriend looking at the girl with such, wow, beaming with pride and smiling from ear to ear, looking as the artist, you know, put into the canvas the picture of the girlfriend. I know that they are definitely in love. I know, your turn will come. Mommy and Daddy will tell you, okay, about the birds and the bees and the flowers. This is romantic love. The love that says, I will catch you the finest pearl in the deepest ocean. A bit corny. But when I say Jesus fell in love with us and the church, I'm not referring to the romantic love, even though Jesus does love us with a passion. It is an agape love. An agape love is love without condition, love without restraint, love without human frailty, the love that gives without expecting anything back. This is the love of God. And here in Matthew 13, 46, he says, the man in the parable of the great pearl, the man probably a merchant, he found the pearl of great price. And God is like that man, that merchant. God takes a look and he says, wow, this pearl is not a plastic pearl. These days, a lot of fake things. He look at this pearl, it's not a plastic pearl. This pearl is not a pearl made of sugar. This is not a cultured pearl. This is a pearl that is truly genuine, well-polished, sincere. And the man, or in this case, God, fell in love with this pearl. And he was ecstatic with his find. And you can imagine the joy of God when he discovered this very exquisite pearl. This pearl, as described here in Matthew 13, is a metaphor of you. You, the believer. You, the beloved. And God is captivated by the beauty and the brilliance of you. He says, I'm willing to spend eternity with you. And he cannot help himself giving of himself to you now and then into the future. But today, maybe you sit here and you say, No, but I'm not that exquisite pull that you describe. You know, I don't feel so precious. I don't feel so valuable. You know, whatever you say to yourself, whatever your emotions are when you say that, God still considers you a great pull if you believe in Him. In fact, God wants to be personally involved in your spiritual formation as a pull. You know, the formation of the pull, if you know the story of the pull, the formation of the pull is actually obtained at a very high cost, because it must be a grain of sand that enters into the oyster that causes a lot of discomfort for the oyster, that in order for the oyster to protect itself, what the oyster does is it secretes a substance to coat the sand. So layer by layer, the sand is then encased in the pull and it becomes the fine pull ultimately. I don't know, today we may be struggling on a Good Friday with weaknesses or with limitations, but God can turn them into valuable experiences for you so that your true value as a pull of God is being revealed. Today, if you suffer from shame, God takes your shame and He wraps it up with His love so that lovability grows out of you. Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:7, He says, you are not your past. Whatever your past is, you are not your past. You are redeemed and you are free. Then Jesus takes the failure, whatever, if that's your grain of sand, He takes your failure, whatever you feel you have failed, and God winds His success around it. Because Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:3, my God will bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need. That's how special you are as a pearl of God. Or maybe some of us have grains of sand that are very like pessimistic. We are pessimistic. God takes pessimism, the grain of sand that makes life less enjoyable, less abundant, and He converts it to optimism so that you are not a hostage to unhealthy thoughts, so that you can have divine power to demolish strongholds. That's what 1 Corinthians 10:4 tells us. Or maybe the grain of sand is for you always to have full control. You need to have control over everything, and you worry all the time because you don't know what's going to happen next. So the best thing to do is to worry. If that is you, God wants to turn that grain of sand that is gritting the oyster to turn it into a trust that God will direct your paths now, forevermore, now for your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, and your future generations. God wants to do that. And God wants to take the irritation or maybe of unmet expectations. Maybe there are certain expectations you have because maybe you have got very high standards. God wants to take that irritation of unmet expectations. Like, why can't everybody understand me? Why can't everybody do it according to my plan? God wants to take that and helps you to live life better and freer. God has the power to change sand to pull in the oyster. God has the power to change your life. But the pull came at a very high price, very, very high price. And Jesus had to count the cost. And that's why He warned us in Luke 14, 28-30. He warned us. He says, before you say you want to follow me, before you say you want to be a disciple, I want you to count your cost. Because He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down, estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Jesus said these words, and of course, Jesus counted the cost. Jesus counted the cost of the cross. He knew it's going to be a gruesome death. The Son of Man, totally disfigured by His own creation. And we read it in Psalm 22, and Jesus would have read that too, because scriptures was available, the Psalms especially. Jesus would have read his own suffering in Psalm 22, the deep isolation that Jesus had to go through if he is serious about seeking that pole, if it is serious about falling in love with that pole, if he's serious about loving the world. Jesus got to count the cost, and he counted it here in verse 1. The deep isolation that Jesus had to go through. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far, far from my cries of anguish? Jesus got to count the cost of deep isolation. Jesus got to count the cost of the deep shame that was attached to the cross at that time. And that's why in verse 6 and verse 17 of Psalm 22, he says, but I'm a worm. Jesus felt like a worm, but not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. And then he says, all my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. Jesus counted the cost. Deep shame he has to suffer. He counted the cost. He also counted the cost of deep danger, because in verse 12 and 13, he says, many bulls surround me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths against me. That's the battle Jesus had to do. But Jesus fight that battle and give us the blessing. That is the battle Jesus had to count the cost of, the deep danger. How many things and dangers surround us? Right now, there are so many things surrounding us that are very dangerous. Jesus counted the cost. He died so that he protects you. The blessing of protection. Don't fear. Hey, guys, don't fear. There are a lot of things happening around us. Do not fear. Jesus counted the cost. He died on the cross precisely for this, that he gives you the blessing of protection. But be wise, okay? Be wise. Jesus counted the cost. There was deep vulnerability because Jesus was being exposed. Here it says in verse 14, all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. Jesus was vulnerable at the cross. Everything that is in him spills out. His heart turned to wax. Jesus went through a roller coaster of emotions and surges of pain for us on that cross that Friday. But he was so deeply in love with us. He was so deeply in love with us that he cannot be deterred by all the possible consequences that came with the suffering. And he prayed to his Father after counting the cost with big drops of sweat and blood. He says, not my will, but your will be done, Father. And that's why Good Friday has hope for us. Because Jesus took the battle and gave us the blessing. And he pleased the Father for us. Because we can never please the Father unless we are totally sinless. And Jesus was that sinless, atoning sacrifice. There's a cost to be a disciple of Christ. I must warn you a little bit. You may be persecuted. You may be inconvenienced. You may need to change direction. You need to change lifestyle. You may need to change values. But Jesus showed us the example of how he was so deeply in love with us to count the cost and to please the Father. Are you still willing after counting the cost? Will you finish the race? The last point is this. Jesus counted the cost and he didn't work it out. And then he says, oh, it's too hard. Some of us count the cost and it's like, oof. It's too hard. Remember the ruler who came to Jesus and says, Jesus, what do I do? I want to please you. I want to be perfect. And Jesus says, sell all you have. And the ruler walked away. He counted the cost. Wow. very expensive to follow Jesus. He left. The fourth point is this. Jesus counted the cost and Jesus paid the price. That's why we're here today. Here in Matthew 13, 46, if you turn to the parable again, it's a very short parable. I encourage you to read it. It's beautiful. Matthew 13, 46 says, he went and he sold all he had and he bought it. The merchant went, sold all he had, and he bought the pole. Jesus went, sold all that he had, and bought it. Because the love of Jesus has legs attached to it. It takes action. And like the merchant, Jesus went and sold all he had. He went and bought the pole because he believed in the value of the pole. He knew the pearl is valuable, and Jesus sold all he had, left everything he has, his divine status, left heaven and came down on earth for those 33 years when he was on earth because he believed in the value of the pearl. Jesus knew that the demon-possessed man needed to be set free on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He knew in his foreknowledge there was a man that needs to be set free. So he took a boat. I thought the boat is just, you know, from here, 5 minutes. It's a very long ride. And he had to cross over to the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is always reputed to have storms. Jesus took the boat across the Sea of Galilee just to attend to one man. A man whom society shunned, whom society shut up in the cave. But to Jesus, the demon-possessed man is a pole, and he paid the price because he was so gripped by the condition of this man. Jesus was so gripped by his calling to be redeemer. Today we sang about Jesus being the redeemer. He was so gripped by his calling to be the redeemer of mankind, he said no to Satan in the wilderness. Satan tempted him with sustenance. Satan tempted him with spectacular protection and supernatural power. Jesus says no, no, no to all these offers of Satan because he was willing to pay the high price of obeying his Father by dying on the cross for every one of us so that we can be pearls, so that we can have the blessing. In Psalm 49:8, it tells us how much the soul costs. You know how much the soul costs? In Psalm 49:8, it says, the ransom for a human life is too costly. No payment is ever enough. No amount of money can come and pay for your redemption or for mine. No amount of money can prevent death like Jesus did. Not only help us through death, but give us eternal life even after death. No one can offer that. Jesus came and gave his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. And he redeemed humanity by the shedding of his blood and his sweat. He endured flogging and torture and the piercing of hands and feet and his head, because a crown of thorns was on his head. It was not a glory crown. It was a crown of thorns. He paid a high price to become our high priest. He poured his whole soul to pay for the sins of the world, for you and me, so that we can have the blessing of being a pearl today. What's God putting in your heart today? What's God asking you to pay a price for? Is it for your family that you need to pay a price, your ministry, your work, your relationship with God? Listen to his voice to ask him, what is the assignment? What is the thing that God, you want me to pay a price for? Because when you are able to obey it, somebody is going to benefit from your obedience and from your action. The disciple can never be greater than the master. You can never be greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. You can never do what Jesus did in paying the price for the kingdom of God, because that was done once and for all. The cross is too heavy for us to carry, and that's why Jesus says, let me do the hard work. It can never be repeated in history anymore. If you hear of another Jesus wanting to sacrifice their life and on the cross, that's fake. Fake news. Because this can never be repeated in history again. But today we can carry the cross that God gives to us. This parable can also be turned the other way around. Just as Jesus seeks you as the pearl, you seek him as the great pearl. Seek him. Just as Jesus falls in love with you, fall in love with Jesus again and again. Just as Jesus counts the cost, you can count the cost of being a disciple and be willing to pay the price. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus has done it all. There's only one thing you can do on Good Friday, and that is to believe and to receive the one who sacrificed all to purchase for us salvation that is rich and free. I think this is a great opportunity for me to open up this call to people who are here, you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not heard about the parable of the pearl. You don't even know that you are that pearl that Jesus seeks and that Jesus falls in love with over and over again. But today you are here. You have never received Jesus, but today you are here. This is such a great opportunity for you, for Jesus to tell you how precious you are at a personal level. If that's you today, never received Jesus, and today you say, Pastor Kara, would you pray for me? I'd like to receive Jesus into my heart. I'd like Jesus to come in to my heart and be the one that takes care of my life. If that is you, would you raise your hand? I would really love to pray for you. Never received Jesus. Today you are here and you want to receive Jesus. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. And for all the others who have received Jesus, maybe it's time for you to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and tell him how much you love him for what he has done for you. But you are here, you have never received Jesus, and you want the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. If that is you, would you raise your hand? I love for this opportunity to pray for you. Yep, if you are that person and this is not the day, then another day. But recognize that you are the pearl that Jesus seeks. And there are times in your life where you can call on him and say, oh Lord Jesus, I want to be your pearl. Open up your heart to him. For the rest of us, church, won't you fall in love with Jesus all over again? Our theme this year is abiding in the love of Christ. Won't you abide in his love? Won't you remain in him even when the going gets tough? Sometimes certain grains of sand comes and lodge themselves in your lives and it irritates you. Well, allow the Lord Jesus to make a pearl out of your hardship, out of your difficulty, out of your challenge. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you so much that God, in our fallen state, you regard us as pearls. Wow. Oh Lord, we feel your love. Your love in action, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for us, so that we can come out from the fallen state of humanity, come out of our cursed state, sinful state, and be counted as a pearl in your kingdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. It's extravagant, cannot be understood with the mind, can only be received with the Spirit. Today, your people are people of the Spirit. Spirit calls to Spirit. And Lord, you tell us that we are loved, that you have a plan for us, a purpose for us. We are your pole, and you seek for us, and you fall in love with us. You have counted the cost. You have paid the price for us, just so that we can have that blessed life on this earth, that we will live our life different. God, we thank you so much for today. You are our loving God. The debt that we owe can never be repaid, but we thank you. You've paid it for us so that we can enter into your presence just like that, praying to you, talking to you. Hallelujah. God, we praise you. Bless your people, I pray. Take whatever grains of sand in their lives, whatever difficulties they have, oh God, you understand. You notice that small grain of sand, even if it irritates your people, you don't ignore it. You actually, Lord, stand alongside with us, sit with us, and help us through layer by layer. You wrap yourself and your love around us so that we can become that fine pole. Only you can do that, oh God. You are indeed our loving God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor Kara. At this time, we would like to respond to the Lord with the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to invite the helpers who will be serving the communion to just come forward to help us with the distribution of the communion elements, please. So while the communion elements are being distributed, I just want to invite you right now to just do a reflection on the message that we have just heard, about how Jesus seeks after us, how he falls in love with us, how he has counted the cost, and how he has paid the price. Let us just reflect on that for a moment. Now, as you hold the elements in your hand, I'd like to invite you now to join me with a reflection. You know that Jesus would pursue us and that He would pay the price for the penalty of our sins despite the high cost to Himself. It is on its own a testament of the immeasurably great love that He has towards us, His agape love. And do you know that it was from the before the world came into existence, Jesus, the Son of God, had already counted the cost. He had already lovingly decided that He would offer Himself as the sacrificial Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world when mankind falls into sin. And though He was in the same nature as God, Jesus did not use His divine status to His advantage. But He humbled Himself to the status of a servant. He became human and He lived amongst us. And like a lamb that was led to the slaughter, for the joy that was set before Him, for the love that He has towards us, Jesus humbly took our pain and He bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The sins of the world were laid upon Him. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. So that by His wounds, we are healed. We are saved, made whole. We are debt-free, curse-free, sin-free. So whenever we partake of the bread, which represents the body of Christ, and the cup, which represents the blood, it behooves us to reflect on how much it has cost Jesus to redeem us with His own life, and to always remember the extent of His love towards us. And so, brothers and sisters, our only rightful response would surely be more than a token word of thanks or a song, but that we will always have a heart that is full of thanksgiving now and for all eternity. That we will always fall in love with Him over and over again. And that we will live our lives wholeheartedly for Him and Him alone. So let us take a moment right now, yourself, to reflect on what Jesus has done for you. And would you take this moment also to offer Him your love, to offer Him all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Would you tell that to Jesus now? Lord, we thank You for all that You have done, Lord. There's absolutely nothing we can ever do to fully repay all that You have done. But Lord, we offer You all of our love and all of our life. We offer You all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. And we will live for You and You alone. Amen. Shall we stand? The bread that we hold in our hands represents the body of Christ that was broken for us. Let's partake it now and give thanks to Jesus. And this cup represents the blood of Christ that was shed for us. Let us now drink it and let's thank Jesus for his blood shed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, once again for the sacrifice that you have made for us. We are eternally grateful to you and to you alone. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come, let's respond to the Lord with this worship song.